Good morning, church. Merry Christmas. Merry. Hey, did you guys enjoy the music? Will y'all do me a favor? I know I ask you to stand and sit a lot, but man, I was impressed. They did a great job. So if you would, just for me, would y'all stand and give them a round of applause? And say, come on, you can give them a good one. All right, now while you're up, we're going to be facing some weeks ahead. There's going to be some division in the house. Some football teams going to play. I'll take my lumps as they come. But don't you think if we can cheer for them, then we can give God, his son Jesus, whose birth we celebrate, that we can give him a better cheer than we can Georgia or Alabama or whatever other team you might cheer for. Don't you think we can give God a better? All right, then on three, we can give him a big applause. He scored a touchdown. He won the national championship. He won the Super Bowl, the World Series, the Hockey Stanley Cup, the PGA Masters, and everything. He did it all in one swoop by giving us his son. Amen?
Amen.
All right, on three. One, two, three. Thank you, God. Happy birthday, Jesus. We worship you. Come on, you can give me more. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. All right. Now you can be seated. Need to get y'all sweating like I am. Man, it got hot up here. Hey, if you're watching online, welcome. We wish you were here in person with us. And let me say to you guys online, I know some of you are at home. If you did not get a Christmas gift last week, like Melanie said, if you'll come by the church, we will make sure you get your coffee cup and your Christmas ornament. And you guys who were not here last week, be sure, like Melanie said, and get those on the way out. Let me speak first to you guys at home. We're going to do communion together at the end of service. So if you want to go ahead and grab you some juice and crackers, you can go ahead and have that at the end of the message. And again, let me remind you and give you my personal invitation to Christmas Eve. And I have to tell you, we didn't give you everything we had today. We held a little bit back. So we got some more music, some stuff on Friday at 7, and it'll just be a short service together. We'll do the candle lights together, and if you've not experienced it, it's just kind of a breath of fresh air to come and hear voices singing, hear it together, and hear us just celebrate Jesus on that Christmas Eve. So that'll be Christmas Eve at 7. As I was thinking about Christmas this week, honestly, I'm just going to be transparent. If you're visiting with us, I try to be transparent. What you see is what you get. Sometimes my wife tells me I'm too transparent. But honestly, one thing I'm looking for more than most Christmases this year is just a little time at home. Time at home. Does anybody have their spot, especially guys, their spot on the couch? Like your chair? Like, if those of you like I am, I'm a fan of the show Big Bang Theory, and Sheldon has his spot, right? And if you walk in, he's like, you're my spot. And like, it's just instinct. Like, you know, at our house, if somebody comes and sits, I want to go, hey, wait, you're in my spot. But that's kind of what I'm looking forward to, sitting in my spot. It's broken. It's shaped to me, all of my glory. I can sit on my couch and just take a deep breath. It's comfort. Even better, if, you know, Lord, if you're listening, like 40 degrees on Christmas would be great. Snow, I'd be happy man. Just to get cold, wrap up in a blanket, sit on my couch. We've got some visitors from Florida. Sorry, y'all are going to be sweating. But apparently we will be too. you know, just to eat, take a nap, cuddle up on the couch, watch football, and just breathe, and just experience. It's all about comfort. But there's something about this comfort that just can't be replaced. As I was thinking back and reading the scripture about Jesus, where the Bible says that Jesus was wrapped in a blanket. I remember when my girls were little, when they were first born, I got good at what I called the baby burrito. Any of you with kids? Like, you just get them in there so tight and just get them in. You know, our girls were little escape artists, so they always, like, shot one foot out. One foot or one arm always escape. But there was something comforting to them about being swaddled. Even now, my girls have weighted blankets. And there was a study that I was reading. I was studying with another pastor. And the study that said that babies, we know it's true in babies, but even adults like the sensation of that weighted blanket because it releases a chemical in our bodies called serotonin. And serotonin is the chemical that makes us feel good, but it also brings balance to our emotions. It kind of lowers the anxiety. Emma has the, especially for Emma, most of you probably know Emma, my special needs. She's 19 years old, and it does for her. Now, don't get me wrong, it helps us out too, because when she sleeps in that thing, she sleeps, and she doesn't bother us. So it helps me out too. But that comfort, that weight wrapped around her. And see, the truth is, a lot of us in the last 2 years, Melanie was talking about coming into 2021, and we're like, we made it, it's going to be okay now, and then like, here we go again. And we're coming through the year, but for about the last 2 years, a lot of us just need to know it's going to be okay. We just need to be comforted. We need to feel that. So the next few minutes, and I'm going to be a little shorter today, and some of you said amen, I know. I was reading the story. Every year, I kind of go through like I did last week, and I read through the story of Joseph and Mary going to have Jesus. I want to pull something out for you this morning on that on Jesus' birth. So you have Joseph and Mary. We went talked about it last week. She comes and says, hey, I'm having a baby. It's not yours. It's God's. He freaks out, settles down. He keeps stays calm. He follows God's instructions. And now the Bible says that they're on their way to Bethlehem because they had to be counted for the census because that's where Joseph was from. So I'm going to read this to you. I'm going to read some of the story. This is in Luke chapter 2, verse 4. It says, so Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea and Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. That's important when you study your Bible. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And it says, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. That's that uh-oh moment. That moment that I still laugh about it today. Years ago when Emma was born, I had just really gotten started working with fire and EMS and the police, and I got all my legal. All you fire guys will appreciate this. I was legal. I had all my lights and sirens and stuff. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, Melanie was like, it's time to go. I begged her all the way to Statesboro. Let me just run lights and sirens. It's better to ask for forgiveness than permit. Like, we were going to go. I did not want to find myself on the Ogeechee River Bridge and her go, here comes the baby. And she just wouldn't let me. So it's that time. Joseph is freaking out a little bit. Like, it's baby time. So then it goes on to say, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him. Here's our key text for today. She wrapped him in cloths, and then we know placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. Why was it so important that Luke point out that she wrapped him in those cloths? Luke even, if you read on a few verses later, he even repeats it in Luke chapter 2, verse 12, and he's telling them, this will be, and say this with me, this will be a sign to you. Another, wake up, look out, pay attention, that you'll find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. Luke says, hey, look for this, pay attention. Interesting, I didn't know this until I was studying this week, that some historians and most theologians think that at the time, it actually would have been cloth torn, wrapped on the baby, and on the cloth, they would embroider or somehow emboss the name of the child. So literally, Mary was holding a baby with the name Jesus of Nazareth, the Savior, Emmanuel, God with us, whatever they would have put on it to identify him. The Bible tells us that Jesus was fully God, fully man, and that on those cloths would have been written the name. One of the names of God is Comforter, that he was Comforter. But why was it so important that Jesus, the baby, be swaddled? He was God, even as a baby. Well, there's a theological term called the theology of identification. And it's essentially this, that the Bible says very clearly that Jesus was fully God, fully man. So to be fully man, the Bible says he had to experience everything that you and I did and do, except for he never sinned. So Jesus, to be fully man, had to experience that swaddling, and from the get-go, I believe, experienced that comfort that he would have felt as a baby, as a child, when a mother first holds and wraps that baby. See, Jesus did experience all of life, but experience everything, he had to have that comfort. The Bible says that Jesus entered the world being comforted by Mary. And his last night before he went to the cross, the Bible tells us in John chapter 14, verse 16, that I will pray. This is Jesus talking. I will pray and the Father, he will give you another. Notice that comforter is in a capital C. He's talking about the third part of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. That he may be with you forever. See, I thought it was interesting as I looked at this. Jesus started his life experiencing comfort. He spent his life giving comfort, and when he left, he sent us a comforter. What we needed, the Holy Spirit, a third person. We're going to teach some more on it this year, and in teachings past, we've taught you this, that the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. It's real. It's what God sends to us to dwell inside us. Most people understand God the Father. Most people understand God the Son. But when we talk about in some of the, maybe in the older churches and older generations, they'll say, that Holy Ghost. We all like, whoa, back up, brother. I don't know about no ghost. I got Father and I got Son, but I don't like playing with no ghosts. And it's just been distorted. That we lose perspective that the Holy Spirit, what God sent us, is because the same comfort he experienced swaddled in those clothes, he wanted us to be able to have at any time, at any place, in any condition, in any situation that we're in. It's interesting the way Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. He writes, may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God, and then he uses this word, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with who? The special people? Just those who tithe. You guys get the Holy Spirit. Just those who serve on the dream team. No. He says it's for all of you. Yet, a lot of us in church, we either don't know, don't want it because we've been misinformed, or we just kind of ignore God. You see, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is here to not just comfort us, but it's here to help. It's here to help when you don't know what to do. Anybody ever had that? I just did the other day, just last week. I looked in my office and then looked at the ceiling and just said, God, I don't know what to do. I need some help. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is here to bring us peace. It's that peace that I teach this, especially in times when somebody suddenly has maybe unexpectedly lost someone, as a lot of you may have, a lot of this community did, the people that died this last year from COVID, and it was just unexpected. That in those moments when you don't know what to do, and the world says you should be a mess, you should be falling apart, but you have peace. Like, God, I don't know how I'm okay, but I'm okay. The Bible talks about the Holy Spirit and knowledge. I'm convinced this is what got me through my master's degree, to be quite honest. Like, God, I don't know. I need some knowledge. I need you to give me something. And we've all done it, if you're honest. For those of you who have walked with God long enough, you've all been in a place where you didn't know what to do, you didn't have peace, and you needed some knowledge, and then suddenly, like, it just popped in your head. That wasn't just magic. That's the Holy Spirit. That's his job. And then the Bible says once you get knowledge, then you got to know what to do with it, how to apply that. Wisdom knows how to apply knowledge. The Bible says in James that if you just ask, that he's good and faithful to give you the wisdom. The Bible says of the Holy Spirit that he's here to give you direction. When you don't know which way to go, God, I don't know whether to turn left or right. I can remember one time even I was on a trip. We were in Panama in the ocean. And we were riding in a boat with the locals on these islands that we were visiting. And it got late and got dark. And I asked the guy, like, we got to go a mile or two from island to island to get back to where we were staying in the dark, in the middle of the Caribbean, and in a boat. It was like somebody taking a John boat, a 15-foot John boat. Let's go play in the ocean. It was not fun. And it was dark. And I said, how do you know your direction? And the guy who was driving the boat, and in a dead straight face, he spoke pretty good English. He told me, he said, we just asked God. Yeah, I had that same reaction, like, trying to determine this guy, he's a Christian, but really? Like, I need some more certainty before you head out across this ocean that you're just going to ask God. And so he just takes off. And then about halfway across the water, he stops in the pitch black, in the dark. I'm thinking, oh, great, now we're out of gas. We're stuck in the middle of nowhere. Emma was just born. I'm never going to see my kids again. You know, what's going to happen? And he stopped and he said, Pastor, I'm just kidding. Because we do pray and ask God, but there's a little light over there, and that's what I was looking at. I was like, you could have told me that when we started. I'm over here about to have a heart attack. But he said, he goes, but it makes you think about following God, doesn't it? I said, oh, yeah. I said, matter of fact, I'll probably be preaching that for 20 years, and it's been about 20 years. See, God, the Bible says that he gives us direction. And it's all started with that comfort that Jesus felt. See, Jesus said, you're going to need the Comforter. And when he's going to come, he's going to comfort you because he's going to give you directions. He's going to come and comfort you because he's going to give you knowledge. He's going to come and comfort you. But until the baby shows up and Jesus comes and lives and dies and comes back for us and now seated at the right hand of the Father, we couldn't experience that level. The Bible says in Galatians, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. In Isaiah, even you, the Bible, he specifically talks to us and the prophet Isaiah, thousands of years before Jesus shows up, it says, your own ears will hear him right behind you, a voice saying, hey, go this way. Hey, don't go this way. Hey, go left. Hey, go right. And the Bible also says that he's not coming just to bring us comfort, and he gives us this ability. But I want you to look at the very last words. These are Jesus' last words. He was born, comforted, loved by his parents, raised by his parents, lived 33 years. He died for us, came back from the dead, now seated at the right hand of the Father. And just before he goes to heaven, when God takes him to heaven after the resurrection, the Bible says that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. But it started with that comfort. It just kind of blows my mind to go, okay, God, you started with gentle, helpless, innocent, purest form of innocent baby. And you take us all the way to, but I've got to get you full of power. Because your ability, my ability, for us to do life the way God has designed us to do life can't come if we just do it on our own. It couldn't have come if Jesus wasn't born as the prophets thousands of years before did for Jesus. You see, the Bible tells us that we've moved away. Let me give it to you this way. Anybody have kids that were attached to a blanket? A blankie, a binky, a boppy, a boo-boo, a doo-doo, a what-what? I had a friend that called it a what-what. I was like, anybody got those? I heard a story last week. I was like, I need something to share this, to give us a good example. And I heard this story. I actually stole it from another pastor because it was perfect. But this pastor friend, he said, I had some families that had a kid that was like going on, I don't even know the age. It was like old, like 10, 11, 12 years old, still sleeping with the binky, boppy, whatever. And he asked the guy, he said, well, how did y'all finally get rid of it? Because that's a long time to have one. And it's probably nasty. He was like, yeah. And so they took the blanket, and when the child went to school every day, mom went into the blanket and cut a piece off. Every day. go to school, cut a piece off. So after a certain period of time, the child only had a little piece. Well, that piece provided no comfort. They couldn't wrap up in it. They couldn't cover up in it. And eventually, they didn't want it anymore. Well, while that works for removing that from a child, sadly, that's what we've done for God. We just cut a piece off. It rained today. I think I'll stay home. I'm kind of tired. I don't think I'll read my Bible today. Yeah, I know, Jesus, you're the reason for the season. And, you know, we're going to sing hallelujah and hark and all that. Woo-hoo. Yeah. I know they're doing that candlelight service. And, God, it might move me a little bit, but I think I'll just stay away. Whatever it may be. Maybe going through COVID when we separate. One of the worst terms, now I see it. I heard somebody teaching on it. One of the worst terms we invented in the last 2 years is this term social distancing. We can't afford to social distance because we need each other. We can create space, we can create social gaps, but this social distance, I think, allowed us to just cut pieces of God away. That the good, the bad of the last years. If I'm doing good, I don't need God, so I cut some more off. If I'm doing bad, God's obviously not helping me, so I cut some more off. Like Melanie said, this is the last 2 years for us. I feel like my throttle's been stuck wide open. Anybody feel that way? Like it's just, you get up and you just, there's no first gear. You get out of bed and it's sixth gear, jamming all the way through the day, and then you get in bed and shut the engine off. You get up the next morning and go. And just go, go, go. But see, the problem is when we cut God down to that part of our lives, and we're cutting really the Holy Spirit away, because the Bible says the Holy Spirit is what is here in the room with us, is what's here inside of me, then we really don't need that blanket. Doesn't do us any good. If I said to you, I got you a Christmas present, it would be the most comfortable blanket you have ever experienced, and I gave you a 1-foot by 1-foot piece of material, how many of you are going to go home this afternoon to snuggle up on the couch? Nobody. Because it doesn't cover us. You see, we get to this place where we feel exposed. If you remember, after you wrap a baby and they get warm, I've got girls, so I didn't have to experience this, but sometimes when you unwrap the boys, it's like that cold hits them. Or the kid, Emma was, when she was little, she didn't have any fat on her at all. And we'd open, you know, to change her diaper or something, and she could just hear her go, whoa. See, we all feel that way now. We just feel exposed. The problem is we've trimmed God so away that we feel exposed, we feel alone. Nobody, we've had to isolate. Oh, you came in contact with somebody with COVID, everybody isolate. And then we separate. And then we get used to it, so we don't come back to church, we don't get back with our groups. You feel powerless. Anybody felt that way this last year? Like, no matter what we do, first it's Delta, then it's Omicron, then, you know, it's just never, because we've removed the Holy Spirit, we removed God, Jesus, away from even Christmas. Then we feel hopeless. Like, once you're exposed, alone, and powerless, like, what can I do, God? It's over. And that all leads us in kind of a reverse order to this word of uncomfortable. God, I've found myself, I'm just going to be honest with you, in the past several weeks, I've been uncomfortable. Like the church is growing. People are showing up. Nursery's full. Kids' church is full. Wednesday night, our youth, they're growing. And, you know, obviously you see this morning, the praise team, they're getting good. And I've just been uncomfortable. And I've realized, because I started feeling exposed, alone, powerless, hopeless. And yet while I'm up here, it's all smiles. And it's because I realize I begin to trim the blanket away. I'm taking a new perspective this year. I don't know how it will be different, but when we do our 7-day restart of, okay, God, I need you to knit me a blanket again. I need you to wrap me in some of those clothes. You see, we don't have to be the generation that is without comfort. And I feel like if we're honest, a lot of us in the room would identify with all or some of those words right now. That my prayer this morning is that you stop feeling hopeless, exposed. See, the Bible says that we can expose our sins to each other and still feel loved, still feel accepted. That for some of us, it's starting a walk with God. For some of us, it's letting God wrap you again and make you feel like you did that first time. I'm going to ask the ushers and you guys do your thing. Josh, you can come. But I want you to understand this. And I had them do the lights for a reason. Because I know what it's like to feel alone, like nobody's listening, exposed, uncomfortable. Like, I want to do something. I want to do it for you, God, but I try and it doesn't work. Or I'm trying to fix this in my life. I'm trying to kick this habit. I'm trying to overcome this problem. I don't want to smoke that. I don't want to drink that. I don't want to say this to my wife. But God, I don't have the power to fix it. Well, God does. And this morning, I know a lot of you came for the Christmas message of Jesus in the manger. But I'm going to tell you that I think the Christmas message is bigger than that. Because when the baby showed up and Mary comforted that baby, she started a process which allowed me and you to no longer feel exposed, alone, hopeless, helpless, and just uncomfortable in the world. For some of you, you need to let the comforter back into your life. Like Isaiah said, you need to hear that voice behind you, and you just need to obey. I remember my dad screaming at me one time when I was a rambunctious little boy, and I was about to jab a knife into like an electrical outlet. And I heard the voice of wisdom behind me say, "Don't do that." Now the ball was in my court. Of course, I didn't listen. I blew a breaker. See, I think God's back behind us going, "Hey, this is what you need to do." Now the ball is in our court. So I want to ask you this morning, go bow your head and close your eyes. And then we're going to take communion together. I can't think of a better way to end our Christmas service today than do that together. But for some of you, you need to say, "Jesus, I'm new to this." And it's this easy. If you've never met Jesus, for you watching online or you in the room, it's this easy. The Bible says you believe it in your heart, you confess it with your mouth, that Jesus was born, we celebrate Christmas. He lived sinless. He died on the cross. He's now in heaven, and he sent us a comforter. If you just simply say, "God, I believe it, confess it with my mouth, I believe it in my heart. I don't even understand it, God. I just feel you, and I know it's real. And God, I'm going to walk it out." In Jesus' name, amen. Now for the rest of you, if any one of those words I threw out today fits, I want you to internalize that Jesus showed up as a baby, not just to be cute, not just so we could sing, "Oh, come let us adore him," not so you could get, so you could get your PlayStation 5, your boat, your shotgun, your whatever clothes, your whatever it was. Jesus showed up so that you didn't have to feel that way. You didn't have to feel alone, exposed, helpless. "God, I've got this addiction. I can't kick it. I've got this issue. I can't kick it." Oh, yeah, you can. Let me correct that. You're right. You can't. But that's why Jesus said, "I'm leaving. And the way I was comforted, I'm going to send you something, someone that will comfort you just as my mother Mary comforted me." And you need to internalize that this morning. So let me pray for you. Then we're going to take communion together. God, I thank you for every person within the sound of my voice. God, as we prepare our hearts to take communion this morning, God, I thank you that life comes. God, that where we were trimming you off, God, you begin to sew it back together. That today, Father, both in the room and online, God, we experience that wrapping, that swaddling, that comforting, that peace in our hearts, the wisdom, the knowledge we need, the direction we need. God, and just you surround us as we celebrate Christmas this year. And God, I thank you that today we'll see a difference. Today we'll feel a difference. And tomorrow when we wake up, God, we will walk in that difference. And I thank you for it now, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Why don't you would grab your communion cups? Could somebody run me one? I didn't even get one. Somebody could do that for me. I want to read you some scripture. The Bible says in Mark chapter 14. Thank you, ma'am. The Bible says in Mark chapter 14, Jesus, just before he died, the Bible says as they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and the Bible says, and he broke it. Then the pieces he gave to the disciples, saying, take it, this is my body for you. Now you need to understand this. You can go ahead and open it, maybe grab that piece if you don't already. The Bible said that Jesus knew what he was doing from before he entered the earth. I can't explain it. I don't even try to understand it really. But I believe even as a child, Jesus knew what he was here to do. He looked through all of eternity to December 19th, 2021 in Sylvania, Georgia, and saw me and you sitting here and said, I'm going to do it for Clint. I'm going to do it for Jimmy. I'm going to do it for Susan here. And he looked at his disciples and he broke the bread and he said, this is for you. And God, I thank you for this piece of bread. God, I thank you that you did it for me. That this represents you looking even as a baby at my life and saying you're worth it. And I thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me take the bread. Then the Bible says he took a cup. Here's the thing that struck me. The Bible says he gave thanks for it. He thanked God for what he was about to do. And he said he gave it to them all and they drank it. Do you want to go ahead and open your cup? God, I thank you that this is not just juice. But God, this represents everything you did for us. It sealed the deal over eternity. Never again do we have to beg for forgiveness. God, we can simply ask. And God, today we thank you that you sent your Son for us. Again, looking through eternity, that my life was worth the price that you paid and that Jesus paid. And God, we thank you for it now. In Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen. You may take your cup. Now, if you will, if you'll stand with us one more time. In just a second, we're going to sing one more song together. But before we do, sorry, I got to get everything turned on here. I want to remind you of something. I want to remind you that to my right, to your left, today it's Pastor Bob and Tammy. Listen, of all weeks, don't leave for Christmas this week and feeling alone, exposed, aggravated, uncomforted. Just go over and just say, I just need you to pray for me. When we're done with the song, we'll dismiss in a minute. I'm actually going to pray for all of you at the end. Don't leave. Let somebody pray with you. I'm telling you, it's life-changing to know somebody else agrees with you and somebody else, the Bible calls it standing in the gap. Somebody's fighting for you. And you need to know that as a church, that's our stance for you. We're fighting for you. If you're watching online, we're fighting for you. For those of you at home who haven't come in the door yet, we're fighting for you. And I thank God for what he's going to do.